Well, good morning to you, and happy Mother's Day. This is all a bit strange, isn't it? Many of us would normally be in church on a Sunday morning on Mother's Day, and afterwards some of you would be planning to head out to the pub for a family meal or a large family gathering at somebody's house. This year it's a little bit different, isn't it? Because we're all going to be staying at home or perhaps going out for a walk, but make sure you take your tape measure with you to make sure you stay 2 meters apart. Despite the restrictions, I do hope that you manage to do something special today. In Spain, as you know, the whole country is in lockdown and people are trapped in their houses, and many of them live in flats. I don't even have a garden to go out into. And you're only allowed out onto the streets if you're taking the rubbish out or if you have a dog to take for a walk. So George will soon be available for hire at very reasonable rates. The restrictions on our daily lives are coming thick and fast. It is difficult just to keep up with the stream of information being chucked at us by the government, let alone process exactly what all the implications are for us as individuals. How should we respond to these restrictions? It's at times like this in our society when we see the best and the worst of human behaviour. Panic buying at the supermarkets is not a pretty sight. Dawn, the critical care nurse from Yorkshire, was absolutely right, wasn't she? On the other hand, we see many people offering to help to support others, looking after vulnerable neighbours, and we also see the dedication of the healthcare workers around the world, all united in whichever country they're in their desire to help others. In ourselves, we also detect different responses to the advice we're being given. Some of us are quite gung-ho about it all. Particularly if we're young and healthy, there doesn't seem to be much to worry about. A few days of discomfort and that's about it. So why shouldn't we just carry on life as normal? Why can't we go down the pub to see our mates? In contrast, other people are feeling so anxious about it all that Lady Macbeth has nothing on them in terms of hand washing. Will these hands ne'er be clean? Out, damn spot, out, I say. Well, you might be like me, by nature quite gung-ho about all this stuff, but actually, with all the news that we're absorbing this week, with this sort of anxiety creeping in because of the unknown quantity of what we are facing. So let me bring you to Titus 3. Hopefully you've been listening to Brian reading from Titus 3, and you got your Bibles open in front of you as you normally would do at church. Let me give you the real reason why we should be obeying the coronavirus restrictions. So, verse 1, Titus 3, Paul writes to Titus, "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceful and considerate, and always to be gentle towards everyone." Christians are to be good citizens. We are subject to. That means we have to obey the rulers and authorities, just as children obey their mum and dad. There's a strong sense of being under authority throughout the Bible, and it's a good thing, because the ultimate authority is God himself, and he is good and kind and loving in all things. That's why Titus and other pastors like me can teach your authority and shouldn't be despised, please. Chapter 2, verse 15. Not because of who we are as individuals, but because we teach the truth from God's word. You see, we're all under his authority. We're all under God's authority, and that means when we preach from his word. And even when we don't understand his ways or feel restricted by his rules, we have to remember that God's authority is always good because God himself is good. Now, that doesn't always translate into what our rulers say, always being the truth or good. Nevertheless, Romans 13 makes it quite clear that they have been put there by God, and he knows all about them. He knows their heart, and he will bring them to judgment. And our job is simply to be good and obedient citizens for the good of the whole society. Now, whatever you think of the coronavirus restrictions, especially of those of us who tend to be a bit gung-ho, we must be subject and obedient to our rulers. It's not a new concept. When the Lord's people were carried into Babylon, God told Jeremiah in chapter 29 to tell the people to seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile, pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Now, more than ever, we have to be good citizens, because these restrictions have been put in place in order to protect the most vulnerable in our society. Now, as we learnt last week, looking at Titus 2, our lives are meant to be the best shop window possible for the gospel. But now is not the time to be seen to be flouting the rules. Now is not the time to be slanderous, passing on fake news, sort of clouding the air with misinformation. Remember, we do this not in fear or out of self-preservation, but as an act of love to the vulnerable, to whom this sickness could bring death. Instead of singing happy birthday as you wash your hands, perhaps we could try saying a 20-second prayer for our neighbours while we wash them. Lord, protect the vulnerable from this virus. Be with our elderly neighbour, may they have every need met. Now we need to love by keeping our distance. We need to stick together by staying apart. Of course, you know you're supposed to do these things, but you may not have realised just quite how these ordinary acts of self-restraint are actually incredible acts of neighbourly love. They're potentially life-saving acts, and therefore they are spiritually insignificant. Over the next few months, our lives will be filled with the inconvenience of having to cancel social events and church events and even weddings. We were due to go to one in Plymouth, and that's now it's going ahead, but without guests. But we need to remember that self-sacrificial love has always been inconvenient. By its nature, self-giving is inconvenient. And it's a good lesson for us in the whole of life, isn't it? Perhaps this virus will make us realise that we can put up with more inconvenience in our lives than we previously thought. Perhaps self-giving will become a habit, which will carry on much longer than the 12 weeks that Boris Johnson is talking about. Also, take a look at verse 2. Now more than ever, we need to be peaceful and considerate at home and in the supermarket aisles. The Relate charity has said that people should call a domestic truce and be kinder to each other, while coronavirus forces us to spend more time at home together. We need to be gentle to everyone, don't we? At home, that's even after 2 or 3 days of being locked up at home with children, the wife, husband, father, mother, flatmates, rabbits, delete as appropriate for yourselves. And at work, where emails and Skype calls make gentleness much more difficult than in face-to-face conversations, remember to avoid block capitals in your emails. Be gentle to all. We are called to be good citizens. Thankfully, the coronavirus doesn't affect children and fit, healthy younger people so badly, but we must do all we can to protect the elderly and vulnerable in our society. Now is not the time to be rebellious against these coronavirus restrictions. But that's not all Titus 3 has to say to us in these times. It is in itself, I think, a reminder of the effects of another pandemic, the Me First virus that Paul talks about in verse 3. The Me First virus enslaves us, it restricts us. It destroys our communal lives, far more than the coronavirus ever will. Unlike coronavirus at the moment, however, for the Me First virus, there is a vaccine, and it has already been launched into the world. Verse 4, the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, appeared. And in verse 5, he saved us. So we have been saved by God's kindness and loved. And love. We are amazed, and rightly so, by the kindness and love of our healthcare workers, potentially putting their own lives at risk for the sake of others, in some cases, not to mention the simple exhaustion of long shifts and the emotional strain of it all. They will treat anyone who comes to them. They do not discriminate. They're all doing all they can to fight the virus. And it's marvellous to see how they're reflecting God's own kindness and love, because they were all made by him in his image, whether they believe or not. God faces up to the Me First pandemic and acted out of his own kindness and love in sending himself, in God the Son, to become flesh, to appear and to save us. just like the paramedics, doctors and nurses, not because we're healthy, but because we're sick. As Jesus himself said in Mark chapter 2, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. We can't save ourselves from me first. We are all hopelessly sick. But God, in his mercy, verse 5, saved us. Verse 6, through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. So we have been saved, this is the second point, for eternal life. Here's the goodness of our salvation. The good news of our salvation, we may have to self-isolate over the next few days. For some of you living on your own, that's going to be especially difficult. But if we have been reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit, we shall never be alone. Because God is with us. Christ is with us. Because the Spirit is in us. See, he's poured there, not just like that mean little sip of communion wine we gave to you in paper cups a few weeks ago, but he's poured out into us generously, generously by God. So what does that mean? What does it mean to receive God's Holy Spirit generously? Well, Jesus called the Holy Spirit to be our counselor, our helper. He is better, said Jesus, than Jesus' own physical presence with us. We'll never be left alone when we have the Holy Spirit living within us. Now, it would be easy, wouldn't it? Whilst we don't have this routine of meeting together, life groups are cancelled or just happening virtually, and we can't meet up with Christian friends so easily, to imagine that we are alone, and therefore for the devil to see an opportunity to get in there with temptations. Computers and mobile phones might be excellent for keeping us in touch, but they're also a conduit for all kinds of temptations. So let's resolve here and now to use them wisely during our isolation. But it's more than just resolve, because actually we've been reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. Even when the fruit and vegetable shelves are empty, the Spirit makes us more like Jesus by bearing his fruit of love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control in our lives. The Spirit becomes our seal, our guarantee of inheritance. He gives us the assurance of eternal life. Eternal life is the hope of a new society where isolation, self or otherwise, won't exist. It's not just a concept that we like to believe in, I guess, pie in the sky when we die. It is a place. It is a time when we'll be in perfect relationship with God and other believers and get to enjoy God's creation as it was meant to be enjoyed. Paul believed eternity to be a far better place than this earth. He said in Philippians 1, verses 21 to 23, he said, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far." He was convinced that it would be better, even though he could serve a fruitful life here on earth. Are we convinced that eternity is going to be better? It's a good time to be facing up to our own mortality, isn't it? It doesn't matter whether we are 10, 40, or 79, one day we will die. We may have hoped to die comfortable and wealthy, and some of you at this time may have to be painfully reassessing those dreams because the economy is going to be passing through a really difficult stage. But whatever happens, dying in Christ is a blessed hope. It's a happy hope. Dying in wealthy ignorance, well, there's no hope at all. Is this now the time when you decide to accept the kindness and love of God, our Saviour? Please use this time to make sure that you are saved for eternal life. Thirdly and lastly, the final point is we are saved for a good life. So having been reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit, it's a good life here and now. In verse 8, Paul says, "This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things, so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Devotion to doing good is excellent and profitable. In contrast, petty arguments and quarrels in verse 9 are unprofitable and useless. Let's take a look at verse 14. We must devote ourselves to doing what is good in order to provide for urgent needs, in contrast to living unproductive lives. For those of us who are low risk, whilst we remain healthy and within the restraints of social distancing, there is still plenty of opportunity for us to live productive, profitable lives. Even within our church family, some will be under strict social distancing because of their vulnerability. Others will get sick and have to self-isolate or head into hospital. They will be needing supplies and people to be in safe contact with. They'll need a cooked meal, perhaps, prepared safely. It always encourages us, perhaps a cake. There are others who live in our streets, people you know from work, people whose only family lives a long way away, people whose children are at home whilst they need to go to work, mums looking after children on their own, healthcare workers who are simply knackered or needing our encouragement. There are any number of things that we can be doing at this time to be living productive, profitable lives. By the way, please do let me know if you are having to self-isolate yourself or if you need anything at all from members of the church, because we can organise that care in a safe way for you. None of you needs to be suffering alone. And if you are vulnerable, at risk or self-isolating, well, you can't do very much, can you? But please use that time to determine to pray more. So if we can't do, pray. Prayer does not spread the virus, but let's hope that it is contagious. So remember, at these times, God is in control and has set the rulers in place. So let's be good citizens and obey the restrictions on our lives willingly. Let's remember that we are being saved by God's kindness and love to a sick world. We've been saved for eternal life, and we've been saved for a good life here and now. And like Paul and Titus, we may be separated right now. We may be unable to meet face to face. But let's remember verse 15. Everyone with me sends you greetings. So that's love from Sylvia, Alex, Miriam, Lucas and George. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Let's just end a short talk with a prayer. So, Father, we thank you so much for the rulers and authorities that you have put in place for us at this time. We thank you that there are many intelligent and clever people doing their best to try and keep us safe. Lord, help us to follow the correct advice. Help us to keep ourselves and other people safe. Most of all, Lord, help us to make sure that we are saved by your kindness and love, not because of righteous things we've done, but because of your mercy. We thank you and praise you for your Holy Spirit, who fills us, enables us not to be alone, who enables us to be more like Christ, and gives us gifts for the good of the church. So, Lord, we pray, please pray that you would make us into better people, into people able to devote ourselves to doing good and meeting the urgent needs of others. Lord, please protect us, keep us safe, and keep us helping, and keep us serving. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.